beautiful. What a wonderful, delightful surprise. Thank you so much. I also want to thank all of you for the gift of your time today. It is the summer, and I do appreciate the effort that's taken to be here. May the gift of your time here become an investment, returning to you more than that which you offer. And we are, all of us, enriched by your presence here among us today. Please know that. Will you join me now in prayer? Spirit of mystery, joy, and comfort, in our search for meaning, help us to understand that not everything can be understood. And give us the good sense to know that not everything makes sense. Also help us to know that while we do not understand injustice, it does not mean that we accept its existence. And in the midst of everything going on around us, when we get busy, help us to get busy with living, get busy with life, and grant us an abiding awareness of your presence here with us, moving in us, around us, and through us. In your many holy names we pray. Amen. Unsettled. It is a phrase often used by weather forecasters to indicate a condition that is remarkably unpredictable and potentially volatile. Past patterns of predictability may no longer apply, and the weather isn't always making sense to us, not in the ways that we're accustomed to or expect it to. It may be potentially uncomfortable, rapidly changing, fickle, erratic. Something might happen, maybe, probably, or not. For a summer sermon series this year, I wanted to explore, for a few Sundays at least, turns out the 5 Sundays of July, I wanted to explore the concept of unsettled, and to do so through the lens of some of the Bible stories and passages that speak to us of unsettled times. Now, my wish to do so comes from the feeling that so much around us now seems unsettled, unpredictable, uncertain. Our earth, environment, weather, events, our world, our nation, our people, even ourselves. Any patterns of the past that we're familiar with no longer seem to apply. And evidence indicates that living in an environment that has no set pattern can lead to stress, fatigue, even exhaustion. But I hope that by looking at some of our big stories, it can help to provide us with some strength and encouragement, some nourishment for the journey, and perhaps even an opportunity to gain a better awareness of ourselves, as well as an unexpected path to potential healing. Now, the first Sunday we reflected on the unsettled has instrumental in revealing places that may be in need of healing, places that draw our attention and call us to them, like the wounded souls of the pools of Bethesda. God's going to trouble the water. And we are invited to step right into that trouble, to step in order to find our healing. Called to the very places we may not want to go, places that we may be afraid to go, places where racism is revealed, xenophobia is present, homophobia, transphobia, hatred surfaces, our own sensitivity to being offended at perceived slight. Those are the unsettled, the sensitive, troubled places that we need to wade into in order to find and encounter our healing. The second Sunday, we talked about that unsettling voice that comes from within, ha-satan, often translated as Satan. The Hebrew words for the accuser, the accusing voice that comes at us most often when we are exhausted, empty, lost, and wandering the wilderness. The voice that tells us that we aren't good enough, we eat too much, we're not doing enough, we could be famous only if, no one likes us, people laugh at us. It's a busy voice sometimes. That accusing voice that smites us and indicts us, revealing both our temptations and our weaknesses. Just as Jesus in the wilderness, we hear that accusing voice, but we do not listen to it. We confront the unsettling voice, for it is in the wilderness that we encounter our weaknesses and we also discover our strength. Last Sunday, we reflected on the potential for creation in the midst of the unsettled moments, in the place of chaos, in the space of seeming emptiness, nothingness, like the moments of creation in Genesis, brooding over the unsettled space before us. In short, you want to make something of it? To make something out of the moments that unsettle you, the moments that anger you, the moments when you finally realize that the world you thought you knew is no longer there. The world you knew is gone. Don't try to get it back. Instead, make a new one. Today, I wanted to reflect on the unsettled nature of the world around us, where commonly held rules of behavior and convention no longer seem to apply. Or did they ever? People do corrupt things and wind up being honored for them, celebrated for them. People do good things and wind up being marginalized for them and punished for them. Often the feelings of frustration that we may experience as we look around us at such times are not new. The reality that just people are treated unjustly is just as old as people. Life is not fair, but I think a better view might be life is fickle, unpredictable, and occasionally unsettling. We can get fired up. We can get wound up. Wound up over things that are out of our reach and out of our control. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And somewhere in there, in that whole unsettling process, we can easily become disenchanted observers of the whole process of life. And in that moment, I believe, if we are not careful, a part of us begins to die. When we let ourselves get wound up, it is important to remember that there is a distinct difference between spinning our wheels and going somewhere. Ecclesiastes, in essence, it is the pen name by way of a transliteration from Hebrew to Greek to Latin to English of the one who wrote and assembled the book. It is one of the few books of the Hebrew Bible that almost didn't make the cut of inclusion in the Christian canon. The Christian canon, the collection of approved and accepted writings that make up the collection of Christian scripture. Now, traditional Jewish texts name King Solomon as the author. And while modern scholars dispute that, the book itself appears to contain the musings of a king of Jerusalem as they reflect on life, even in a very self-critical way, seeking to learn lessons embedded in everyday happenings around them. Now, in this sense, Ecclesiastes can even be a good model for a way of life, one that involves reflection on events in our everyday life and gathering, squeezing wisdom from such events and moments. Let me give you an example. When I was young, my dad saw that I was upset about something, and he asked me what was the matter. I told him that Alvin, one of my friends, had hurt me. And I really wanted to hurt him back. I really wanted to break his face. Now, Dad asked what he had done. And I hemmed and hawed a while, and I finally blurted out, he called me a sissy. Dad said, okay. Words can hurt. But I want you to think about this. It is as if Alvin is poking you with a stick, poking at a sensitive place on your body. You are angry at Alvin. What I want you to do instead is to look at the stick and look at the place where you're being poked. Don't look at Alvin and want to break him. Look at the stick he's using instead and where he is using it, and think about breaking that. What you must know is that I didn't behave in a feminine manner at that time in my life. In fact, I went out of my way not to behave that way. Now, looking back, I can see that I was masking. I was trying to cover up some stuff. Stuff that I didn't really want to look at and face myself. Maybe if I'd been more self-aware at the time, I could have seen that then and there. Well, I wasn't, and I didn't. And I did eventually wind up punching Alvin in the face. Not proud of it, ashamed of it, but that's the facts. Because I was unable to face myself, the gender conflict that was going on inside of me at the time. There is a process and a practice of gleaning wisdom from everyday life. It's precious. And Ecclesiastes reflects on that process and that practice. Even so, brief readings from the entire book appear only twice in the Revised Common Lectionary. And the reading today isn't one of them. That is one of the many things that I enjoy about a special sermon series. It not only calls me out of step and out of time with the lectionary, but such series often lead me off the beaten path altogether. Sometimes where I'm most comfortable, to select scriptures that you will not hear as prescribed readings in church at any other time or place. It's also a lot more work for me, but it's also, for me, more challenging and it's more fun. In any event, Ecclesiastes is not only a bearer of wisdom, but it is also a good teacher in how to draw wisdom from our lives, from our own lives, constantly. Now, this passage today was written over 2,000 years ago, and yet it could have been written this morning. It could have appeared in somebody's editorial this morning about a whole host of topics and events. Now, I find that fascinating and timeless. The message may even be boiled down to a simple line from the movie, Shawshank Redemption. Quote, "It's a simple choice, get busy living or get busy dying," end quote. What kind of busy are you? You may feel frustration stirring inside you when you look at the world sometimes, seeing sharp divisions, the irritating hypocrisy of some people pointing out that there are consequences for breaking the law by those who at the same time are breaking the law. The just who are treated unjustly while the corrupt are celebrated. It's like when you're out driving. You knew I had to go there at some point. It's like when you're out driving and you see someone break the law, making an illegal U-turn, floating a stop sign, or speeding. Which speeding, by the way, generally means just going faster than you. Now, when you see that, don't you sometimes look around for a police officer? I know I do. Them, get that one right there. Don't you just wish for some kind of cosmic cop to cite that person for their wrongdoing and their traffic transgressions? We want justice. But I will tell you this much, the highway is not fair. It is not fair, and that person may well wind up ahead of you. You, who are a law-abiding driver, most of the time. And it's not fair. It is not fair. Such are the lessons of life, life that we live. And what you may be feeling and observing around you in an unsettled world where things seem to be spinning out of control. Hard though it may be to deal with, this has been observed before and felt before, and you are not alone. You are not alone in this great mystery called life, where not everything makes sense. The passage of Ecclesiastes today calls us to that fact. It even wallows with it in us for a while and invites us to join in the wallow like an angry Facebook rant. And we thought we invented rants. Mm-mm. But then it also calls us out of all of this to eat, drink, and be merry, calls us back to life, back to living, to enjoy life, and to live our lives. Because if we are not careful, I promise you, we can wind up swimming in a pool of negativity. How many people have been there?
Yeah.
When we do swim in that pool of negativity, it can cling to our skin. It can cloud our vision, and we take that smell with us. And we are unable to see the opportunities for change and action that lie right before our eyes. So this passage calls us back to what is within arm's reach for us, what we can control, what we can do, what we can touch and taste and be. These things strengthen us for the hard work at hand before us. Things that we can do, things that we can control, encouraging us not to ponder cosmic justice on wrongdoers. You'll get yours. But to make the most enjoyment of our time that we possibly can, for there is much work to do right in front of us, mouths to feed, wrongs to right, right in front of us. This passage of Ecclesiastes calls us to get busy living. Yes, the world may seem to be spinning out of control. The fact is, the spinning of the world is out of your control. But you do not have to get wound up in that spin. In this unsettled world, always remember the difference between spinning your wheels and going somewhere. Get busy living. May it be so.